We're on the cusp of convention season. We're talking about what to do to promote your podcast at a convention. It's The Adventures of Indiana Jim, Episode 2, for March 16th, 2008.
And now, coming to you not exactly live from...
the Cliffs of Insanity!
A man who needs no introduction. That international man of geekery. That intrepid arch-geekologist, Indiana Jim.
Welcome back. It's only 7 days, and here is the second episode of The Adventures of Indiana Jim. And you know what? I'm going to end up spoiling you people, because next week, I'm going to have another one. So, I'm hitting the ground running this time, and I feel freed up by my almost formatless new structure. In the coming weeks, I will begin featuring some audio projects that I enjoy and that you may not be aware of. This episode, I am reprising some of the interview that I did with T. Morris last year around July. Mostly the second half of part two of the interview and most of part three of the interview. About a 20-minute segment. Talking about podcasting. Some of it to do with promotion, some of it to do with the writing of novels, the promotion of novels through podcasting. And after that segment, I'm going to come back and speak to you about things you can do, specific things you can do when you go to a convention to promote your podcast. Talk a lot about authors. For instance, the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy is my model. Because though it's about writing, T brings up a lot of good things that can relate to podcasting or painting or whatever it is you do. Things that you can do, specific steps to promote yourself, to get your name out there. Now, I'm going to be going to Balticon. It looks like we're about 90% there. I still have some details to clear up with transportation to and from the airport here, but it looks like I've got transportation to and from the airport over there nailed down. They have a light rail system that is $1.60 for a one-way trip, and this is a 37-mile trip on a light rail. Hour and 15 minutes I'm going to be spending on this train. And believe it or not, you look at the map on the MTA, the Maryland Transit Authority, the map of the route, okay? The entire city of Baltimore is on this map with the bay on the center right of this picture. All these colored lines showing the different routes that the MTA train takes. And on the very bottom of the map, it says Baltimore Washington International Airport, which is the airport that you typically fly into Baltimore in. The very top of the map is the location of the hotel for the convention. So I'm going to be seeing the entire city of Baltimore on this train ride. And actually, maybe I'll get out and take a picture of Camden Yards. Maybe I'll pay $320 for a 37-mile trip. Holy cow. That's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I love traveling. I love seeing new places. And so, with this Balticon thing coming up, the mecca of podcasters, according to T. Morris, the preeminent stop for podcasters at a convention on the East Coast, according to podcasting's Rich Siegfried, Balticon is the place to be if you can get there, and fares to Baltimore are pretty cheap. For a round trip, I'm paying about $200. Now, you try to pay a round trip, say, to Vegas for the New Media Expo, you're looking at $300, man, for a round trip. I was looking at Phoenix. Phoenix was $300. I can't imagine what Vegas is. It may be more. I mean, it may be less because of all the travel they get because it's Vegas, but I wouldn't count on it. Now, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we'll have the T. Morris segment, 20 minutes worth. It's good listening. I edited it down, edited it down. I parsed it down to the most important parts, and I think you'll enjoy it. So we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we'll have that segment. And then, of course, after that, me.
You know, folks, we here at the Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing Podcast want to salute and thank our wonderful listeners for spreading the word about our show. Our community is growing, and we want to invite you to join us for the ride. We have interviewed some of the best writers of science fiction and fantasy working today, including R.A. Salvatore, Jacqueline Carey, Kim Harrison, Robert J. Sawyer, Brandon Sanderson, and dozens more. We've added some really fun and informative segments, like Ask a Writer with Tobias S. Bakel, who answers your questions about writing, From the Editor's Desk, where major editors of science fiction discuss the business, and Magazine Spotlight, showcasing the very best in short fiction markets. And check out what Tracy Hickman has to say about us.
You are listening to Adventures in Sci-Fi Publishing, the place to learn about publishing in SF.
So come on over to adventuresinscifipublishing.com and share in this insanity, bringing you the business, fun, and intrigue of speculative fiction, one podcast at a time.
Since we've segued into podcasting from the writing, I have to ask this question. You've written a book on podcasting, and you're in the middle of writing a book on podcasting. But is it, as some people might think, just nothing more than another insane, time-sucking hobby for geeks?
It can be. It's, you know, it's no different than LARPing. It is no different than, you know, video games or role-playing games. And at one time, I was a little, what's the word I'm looking for? I was a little disparaging on collectible card games.
Yeah.
Games like Killer Bunnies, Legend of the Five Rings, Magic the Gathering. I'm a recovering Magic the Gathering player. I mean, literally, I had about $200, maybe $300 worth of Magic the Gathering playing cards. Went through them, kept the ones that I liked, and I sold them to somebody for $30. I wanted them out of the house because I thought about all the time that I'd lost playing and subsequently losing to Magic the Gathering. I thought about all the paychecks that I blew just so I could get more Magic the Gathering cards.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought about all that, and I thought to myself, what a colossal waste of money. What a colossal waste of time, you know? And I felt the same way about online role-playing games and stuff like that. And I say that now as I'm looking at my $300 mixer, my $200 microphone, and the $100 mic boom arm that I have, you know? And then, of course, let's not forget the very stylish $30 pop filter. You know, I mean, so there you go. I mean, really, how do I justify what I've spent into podcasting? And not justify what I did with Magic the Gathering and card games like that. I justify it because I got nothing out of the collectible card game. I got nothing out of the gaming. It didn't do a lot for my imagination, that sort of thing. Podcasting mm-hmm. does. For other people, collectible card games, it tests strategy, it tests wits, and there is stimulation there. There is cerebral stimulation there. Some people get that from LARPing. Some people get that from video games. And you know what? More power to them, I say. More power to them.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasting is like any hobby. It's like any passion. And I think that's part of what's different about podcasting is that, for some people it's a hobby. For me, it's a profession. I am making money at podcasting. Not just in the ads that I sell on Billabob Battings and coming soon, Moravia Remastered.
Woo!
But I'm also teaching courses in podcasting, as I ranted about in Billy 14. So I'm teaching courses in podcasting. I'm writing books on podcasting, and I'm being asked to do seminars on podcasting. So I've taken this hobby. I took this publicity stunt, to quote the immortal words of Ronald D. Moore at the Portable Media Expo in 2006. I took a publicity stunt and I've turned it into a small side business.
Now, convincing people to listen, not too hard. I mean, you make a promo, you send it out there, and you talk about it. But how did you convince your wife that podcasting was a legitimate pursuit? And was it when you got the advance from Wiley for the first book?
In all sincerity, she is still not convinced. She looks at podcasting as a massive sinkhole. And to some extent, I would agree, because I was so busy putting together the Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. That was something else that was slowing me down.
Yeah.
Even with the end of the Billy Battings podcast, I might keep Survival Guide at a monthly schedule. And I haven't, but you know, and the jury is still out on that, because the response from the Billy podcast and the hype that I've been getting from the Moravia Remastered podcast has been making me think, you know, wow, I don't know if I want to go back to a twice a month schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to retire the Survival Guide, because boy, that has been fun.
Yeah.
I've been having a really good time, and I've been very, very flattered by the 80% positive feedback I've received from the Survival Guide.
Well, I'll tell you what, the three panels I was on at Con Carolinas, and including the first one I was ever on as a moderator, first one I was on, period, I was a moderator. Mm-hmm. You know, I had that Survival Guide, How to Handle Yourself on a Panel episode, in the back of my head. You know, that's where I learned my lessons from, and I put them into practice. So,
I received a lot of positive feedback on Survival Guide. As a matter of fact, I'll go on ahead and do an exclusive here. I just got confirmation that in 2009, a print version of the Survival Guide will be coming out from Dragon Moon Press.
Oh, that's cool.
She's decided that she wants me to take like the best of the Survival Guide episodes,
yeah,
and you know, transcribe them more or less, and make them print ready, which is
right.
Fine. I mean, but I want to finish Billy and Legacy. Billy
yeah,
first.
Two deadlines is enough,
yes,
Gwen.
Yes. But no, she really wasn't convinced. As a matter of fact, halfway through Moravia, she was thinking, well, you know, it's $400 spent. You know, so what? You know, that's what.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got the offer for Podcasting for Dummies. And she said, you know, I really wanted to tell you I told you so, and I can't. And and bless her heart, she knows how much I've gotten into this now, because even though she doesn't listen to any of my podcasts,
mm-hmm,
she has seen the feedback, and she's also seen the friends that I've made in this podcasting thing. She met Jack Mangan for the first time, just fell in love with Jack. She's met Phil Rossi of Crescent, and just, you know, she's like, this is a good group you've gotten yourself in with.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started making money, teaching classes. I started making money being sent, to different conferences. And that's one of the things I do. I hire myself out and I go to different conferences, you know, trade shows and things like that. And I podcast.
I read a study on blogging. You may have seen it. I don't know for sure. It was done by UMass and Dartmouth.
Okay.
School of Business, basically, and blogging and podcasting as an aspect of promotion for businesses. In other words, your business has a blog. You can talk about what you do. People can connect
right
with your company. What about when blogging and podcasting is the business?
Where I'm finding that my business is happening is I'm helping people create podcasts.
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting the business right now, is helping people create the podcasts. I do a lot of consulting on, okay, here's what you need. I give people a laundry list on what they need to create a podcast with. And that works great. It's when people say, well, I don't want to do this podcast. I'll have T do it, right? And then I give them my rates, and that's when they kind of balk.
Yeah.
But my rates are my rates, and the rates that I charge people. If a corporation came to me and said, we want you to do a podcast for us, I'm like, okay, it's $100 per edited minute. And they just go, well, we can't pay that. And I'll go, fine, then $100 an hour. Got news for you. it averages out the same way.
Really?
Really.
Because yeah.
When you consider editing, recording time, all that stuff, it all clocks in.
Uh-huh.
I will sometimes pay people flat rates, and I will go on ahead and I will do engineering on, you know, engineering, you know, day rates for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But my day rates average out roughly to, you know, $100 per edited hour, per hour. You know, it's an 8 hour day. So there you go. Mm-hmm. And the reason why it is so expensive is because of the amount of production I go into.
Yeah.
I'm not buying. I mean, you've already noticed, and in no way, shape, or form am I poo-pooing on people who use the Logitech mics, USB headsets, that sort of thing. But you've already noticed a difference in the sound quality, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could have done Moravi using a USB Logitech headset and my laptop. I chose to invest the money into this because I wanted to, you know, if anything, at the very end, I was going to have an audiobook, and I figured, well, I'll make a cool buck selling that. And really, not only do I charge these day rates for or these hourly rates or these edited minute rates for to help cover the costs of this this equipment, I also do it because I know how much time is going to go into a podcast. Episode 4, which was My Boy Benny, and that's the one where Sigler showed up. I kept a watch on the time. I kept a watch on how much time I was clocking in. And I clocked in at the end of it, I clocked in about 10 hours on that one episode.
Wow.
You know? So, yeah, I mean, it is worth your time. You know, when I podcast, it takes me away from my kid. When I podcast, it takes me away from my wife. When I podcast, it takes me away from life.
Yeah.
And you should be compensated for that. So, so I really think that when I do the consulting for people, yeah, it saves them a little more money because, you know, they're not hiring me on a daily basis to do this.
Right.
But one of the things I'm noticing that people are doing is they're saying stuff like, well, you know, we have these professional podcasting things, but they're lumping in other stuff in there, such as, you know, if you did a job search, there are actually corporations that are actively seeking people who know something about podcasting. But they're also usually lumped into multimedia.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, must be knowledgeable in Flash, this, and podcasting.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's one of the things that I can honestly say I don't miss about being in the full-time commercial sector and temping in the full-time commercial sector as a freelance graphic artist and website designer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed that more and more they wanted people that knew HTML and could build a website. Then it was HTML and JavaScript. Now it is, you need to know to get a starter position as a website manager. You need to know HTML, JavaScript, SQL, DHTML, XML, RSS. And I'm sitting there going, how much time are you expecting me to invest in this job? I mean, they've literally taken the website developer and the website designer and made them one person.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but I don't want a 70 to 80 hour work week because that's what you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're looking at.
Oh, yeah, that's insane. I mean, I'm getting by just with some, you know, like the free places. You know, I have my little website and then I do a redirect to a WordPress site.
Right.
You know,
right, exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. But what I'm saying is that you know, if people want to pay you for doing this, you got to look at what your time is worth.
Yep.
You know, if you want to undercut me, fine. Go on ahead and undercut my day rate. Go on ahead and undercut. But you know what? You're not going to get the guy that wrote Podcasting for Dummies.
Yep.
You're not going to get the guy who's got the pod cred that I got.
You know, pod cred.
I don't know. I just made that word up. So, you know, maybe you can have patio books. I'll take pod cred.
We can shorten it and call it crod.
Crod. We're crodcasting.
You've been going out to cons and promoting yourself like a wild man. And it's pretty strange thinking, you know, you haven't been in the game for very long, but you hit the ground running, it seems like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's this crazed promoter freakish person, you know, that everybody talks about. T the Mouth Morris.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And most people accept that an author who has books published are going to go out to cons and put themselves out there. And, you know, they're writers. That's kind of what they do. But are podcasters anywhere close to finding that kind of legitimacy? Or is it simply the fact that writers make money doing what they do and podcasters don't?
You know,
I mean, is that what lends the weight to it?
The hardest part about podcasting and about, you know, podcasters that now when you say the legitimacy, I cringe on that. I really do.
Well, and it's a poor choice of words, really.
Well, no, but it's absolutely true. Mm. I mean, I have been on panels with Hutch, and I have been on the same panel there was another author, and I will just leave it at that. Another author who threw his weight around and reminded all of us in a very snooty sort of way that he had a lot more credentials when it came to publishing than any of us on the panel.
Wasn't that a Whiskey Tango Foxtrot moment?
No, it wasn't. No, I've actually kept this one. I've kept this one under my hat because, I did not. This guy's not worth my time.
Oh.
I've come to the conclusion that this guy is not worth my time, especially because the panel was about podcasting fiction, and at that time, he hadn't podcast a word of fiction.
Right.
He's a podcaster, and he's got publishing credentials,
mm-hmm.
but he had not podcast one word of fiction. And, of course, he was telling us how to do things. You know, I really think that if you let people believe that you know, they're more legitimate than you, then yeah, that's the way it's always going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, though, and this is the part, this is the hair you got to split. You can't take yourself too seriously. I understand my current status in the pecking order. I am not the big press guy, you know. I am with a small independent house based out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. www.dragonmoonpress.com.
Plug.
that's where I'm out of. I admit that. I do not need a reminder from some higher up muckety muck that I'm with an independent house. People are buying my books, though.
Yeah.
So that's something. And just because you're with a big house is not a ticket. That is not a free ticket. You still have to promote. You still have to get out there. The difference between me and somebody with Tor, the difference between me and somebody at Bain, the difference between me and somebody at HarperCollins, the biggest difference, distribution. That's it.
Yep.
They got better distribution than me. My books can still get into Barnes & Noble. My books can still get into Borders, provided they don't screw it up. They can get anywhere. The best education I ever got from another author was from Terry Brooks. He is still writing just as ferociously as he did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And people just line up around the block for him. The man could not have been more friendly. He was more than just a hero to me. And wow. You know, he just basically said, you know, T, just because you have a byline doesn't make you a nice person. And mm-hmm. he says, the reason why I'm out here doing this, the reason why I'm out here promoting now is because of Harry Potter. I have to measure up to that.
Yeah.
I mean, he has got a perspective on things. He knows that at any moment this could stop.
Scott Sigler is a great promoter of podcasting as the new revolution in publishing.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of latching on to that. You know, Scott's got this publishing revolution thing, and I'm kind of, you know, I'm like, okay, I've got this first novel that I wrote, and I spent 10 years basically writing this stupid thing.
Right.
And I'm now at the point, I'm like, okay, write the first chapter how you want it, record it, let it go, you know, and I'm starting to try to get serious about this. Is this really the new revolution in publishing, or is it just the current fad? To put you on the spot.
Yeah. Well, it's you're not necessarily putting me on the spot. I just think that you – and this is going to sound really, really, really rough.
It's cool.
I don't think you understand the publishing industry and their regard towards technology.
I think I do.
Well, no, really. I thought I understood it, or I thought I really had a grasp of it. I was wrong. Let me put you this way. I've had authors come up and say, talk to me more about this Podio books. And I said, well, we ask that you do the whole book. And they go, the whole book? Well, yeah, the whole book. can I just do like five chapters and then have them go to my website so they can order the book? No, then it's not a Podio book. It's a sample. And you can put that on your website. The best part was when I literally talked some people out of doing a podcast. Now, granted, I could have fleeced these people for every penny, and I just my business ethics are too high. I just said, no, I can't do that. But I knew that if they went on to do a podcast, they would spend a lot of money on stuff they would never use.
Right.
So I told them, I said, well, let me ask you this. What do you want to do on the podcast? Well, we want to do something because it's cool. It's like, okay. So what?
Because it's there,
right? So what do you want to do? All right. Well, I gave them some ideas, and they were like, no, that's boring. And I finally said, okay, you want to do a podcast? Yeah. You want to do something cool? Yeah. Podcast an entire book. What are you talking about? You have Stormfront. You've got Jim Butcher's first book sitting here in CD format. MP3 it. Make it episodic. Post one chapter up a week. And that's when, literally, they said these words to me. And I just kind of gave away who the client was, too. They said, T, you don't understand what goes into one of these productions, financially or technically.
I'm sorry. That's funny.
No. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and I'm just staring at her.
Were you at your house? Could she see the studio?
Oh, No. I'll tell you one better. She saw my portable studio where I filmed an interview with Jim Butcher using Soundtrack Pro for just the sound, and then I basically shot things from several different angles. And I said, and I looked at her, and I just had to kind of bite my bottom lip and go, I guess I don't. Because there was no way that these two people knew. They knew that if they gave it away, it was going to ruin their business. And I just looked at them and I just said, you got no freaking clue. It's that giving something away for nothing scares the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Scares the crap out of them. And I always go back to myself, Scott, Cory Doctorow, now Tracy Hickman, Paul Levinson. I mean, the fact that you're giving away something for nothing is not crazy. It works.
Yeah.
It continues to work. My sales continue to rise at Dragon Moon Press because of podcasting.
In a world where you can't find a movie, the Cue the Film podcast comes at the most dismal time.
This movie is like, there's an implosion in like, pretty colors.
This movie features a 3-hour clip of a wonderful waterfall falling.
Four men.
And women.
Vow to do the impossible, to make a podcast where alien movies... Sappy love stories.
I love you, never let us part.
The bad news is, I'm dating Fisher Stevens.
And blockbusters.
I'm king of the world, even though I personally have a vagina.
We'll meet and coexist, kind of. I'm some random British guy you've probably never met, here to tell you the Cue the Film podcast is here. Find it at cuethefilm.blogspot.com.
Bring out your dad. Bring out your dad.
Hey,
I'll tell you what. I love that promo. That was hilarious. That comes from Emily McFadden of the Three Heroes podcast, which you've heard promoted here before. And I appreciate Emily's reciprocity. And they have a pretty good fan show about heroes. You should go check it out. And, of course, I can't remember the website, but I will link it in the show notes, I promise. The other thing I promised was to come back and tell you, talk about, what you can do to promote yourself at a convention. And the first thing that comes to mind, and may have come to mind to you, is the infamous business card. Now, I think the main reason people balk at the idea of the business card is you think of that trade show. You think of that trade conference. In particular, I think of HFMA, the Healthcare Financial Management Association. Yeah, I've been to one because of my position in the healthcare industry, which is very low on the totem pole, if I may say so. And a bunch of people in a room talking about crap nobody cares about except people who are entrenched in this industry. You know why? Because they have nowhere else to go. These are the people that work in the business offices in your local hospitals. These topics range from Medicare billing issues to Blue Cross problems to other crap nobody really cares about except healthcare financial management nerds. And a bunch of people in suits handing out business cards. You know, vendors trying to sell services to a hospital. Here's my card. Give me a call. Yada. You all know what I'm talking about. But the podcaster's business card should be fun. It should be colorful. It should have a logo of some kind. You don't want to put Douglas Rapson Esquire on your business card, especially if your name is not Douglas Rapson. But you do want to have something fun. You do want to have something engaging. You know, I don't have any yet. Take your own advice. And, you know, maybe I'll get some, maybe I won't. I don't know. But these are certainly steps we can all take. Get that business card. Get your website on it. You know, say podcaster, author if you're an author, and say, you know, pretend you're selling a service, because you're not really selling a service, you're selling yourself. But make it something quick, witty, something someone will want to hang on to. You know, don't make it just dry and boring, but do something. You know, I'm giving the idea, you make it work for yourself. But upon this business card, you might want to include this other gem, which I took directly out of my Bible, Podcasting for Dummies, the unique selling proposition. Now, we all have to have it. A lot of us have made a promo, right? In this promo, it is the place where we put our unique selling proposition. It's the reason to listen to our show. Your business card, you can hand out to other podcasters. And hand it to them and say, you know, if you ever need any help, if you ever need to chat, you know, I'm here, or whatever. You know, if you ever need any help of any kind, here's my card, has my email address, my website. But you have to have a unique selling proposition, basically. You have to have the one thing that kind of sets you apart, your shtick, your identity, your unique selling proposition. And sometimes you need to solicit advice from other people, family, friends, other podcasters. So what is it that sets me apart? What is it that I do? What do I have to offer people that no one else does? Or that I do differently enough that people will listen? Now, another thing you can do, another thing you can hand out, and people love to have freebies, and I imagine at Balticon people collect a lot of these things, and DragonCon too. Put your podcast on a CD. Give them an episode. Give them two episodes. Include your promo on it. Hand it out for free. You make a greatest hits compilation of what your podcast sounds like. Put it on a CD, audio CD probably, so they can pop it into a player. Or, you know, whatever. They can put it on their iPods if they want to. But put your podcast on a CD and hand it out to people. And I don't mean just random people passing by, but, you know, other podcasters. Listeners to other podcasters. If you're at another podcaster's table and there's listeners there, you know, talk to that podcaster to see if you can hand out that CD there. You know, if T. Morris is anywhere nearby, ask him if you can set a stack on the table that he's at or whatever he's doing. And maybe he'll let you do that. Maybe he won't. I don't know. But this brings us to the art of the relationship. And this is probably the biggest aspect of promoting yourself as a podcaster. Podcasting really is a community. I'm simply staggered by how much of a community atmosphere, how much of a helping atmosphere, how much of a you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours atmosphere. And it's not merely a tit for tat. I mean, I've had podcasters do things for me without anything coming back to them. I had a bunch of podcasters lend their voice to a silly little farce that lasted 12 minutes called Thesis of Fantasy. Scott Sigler gave me a voice. He was on there for 10 seconds. You know, it was fantastic. Jack Mangan was the lead. Leanne, Doug Rapson, Jack Hosley, all these people were in it. Rich Siegfried even played one of the main characters. And I was just, I just loved it. And this is the thing, you know, podcasters will put themselves out for each other. So it's the art of the relationship. And you can't be surface level. It just doesn't work. I mean, I guess you can sort of be long distance. I mean, nobody really has met me face to face. The only people that have are Rich Siegfried and Nathan Butler. And most podcasters don't know me from Adam, but they're still there for me. They still give advice. They give feedback. We chat. We have a nice time. The Farpoint Media people. I'm a member of Farpoint Media. I've never met a single one of them face to face. And it's just continues to amaze me how awesome of a community atmosphere this is. And that's really the key. If you go to a con, just hang out, man. Be yourself. If you can lend a hand to somebody, lend a hand. You know, sometimes at conventions, we're put in social situations that maybe we might not be comfortable in otherwise. Take a live recording of a Wingin' It episode, perchance. Drinking, drunkenness, craziness. I'm not a person who does drunk, but I'll hang out with those people. Because, after all, we're all just people. We all need friends. And, you know, it's not a surface-level thing. You put yourself out for people. You try to be an encouragement. You're not looking just to get yourself ahead. Because if that's all you're looking for, somebody like Scott Sigler can smell it a mile away. Because that's what he does. He's the Dark Overlord. And he's all about promoting himself because he's on a mission for world domination. But you're not Scott Sigler. You're Indiana Jim. And you're just a schmo sitting in his closet putting out a podcast to about 100 people, which, you know, that isn't close to 30,000 of J.C. Hutchins subscribers, but it's 100 people that are mine. And make yourself a friend, and it will pay you back. It's paying it forward. Be genuine. Be yourself. Put yourself out for people. Sacrifice. T-shirts. Now, I'm not talking about making T-shirts that you sell. Make a T-shirt that you don't sell. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried wears a blue T-shirt, bright blue T-shirt that has the word podcasting on the front. He's out there promoting a medium. Not just himself. He's out there promoting a medium. Make a T-shirt of your own show that maybe only you wear and walk around the convention. Make yourself known. Put yourself out there. You know, I sort of robbed the Indiana Jones shtick with the hat, but I wear the hat all the time. I really do. And I wear the leather jacket quite a bit, especially when it's raining outside. It's a great rain hat because it's a waterproof canvas hat. It's great. But when I went to Con Carolinas, I had that hat on constantly. When I was on panels, I had the hat on. And you know what? When you're at a convention with a bunch of geeks, wearing a canvas fedora ain't nothing to walking around in a stormtrooper costume, okay? In Rocky Horror makeup. wearing a hat is nothing, a hat and a t-shirt. And that's what I did. And I'm, you know, I'm the only guy that, I guess, does that, really. I mean, Command Line wears a hat. Some other people wear a hat. But, you know, I robbed the shtick and I'm going with it. And I'm making myself known. So make a t-shirt. You know, Doug Rapson could put a big t-shirt that says Geek Acres all across the front. And with a website on the back. Flyers. If you don't like handing out business cards or putting your podcast out on CD, you can hand out flyers. You can hand out flyers with the CD. Flyers are more of an advertisement type deal. A little less portable, but a little more visible. So you would talk to your friends that you're making at the convention. If they have a table, say, hey, can I set this on your table? They'll say, sure, why not? In my case, I plan on interviewing Patricia Bray, who I've sort of met through LiveJournal, but she's become one of my favorite authors. I encountered her books first. And if she's at a table, I'll say, hey, can I leave this here after our interview? And really, I like to interview her in a more enclosed location than out on the floor, but we'll see how that goes. Anyway, you know, keeping in mind portability issues with my gear, which there are none. No portability. Postcards. This is the last thing I wrote down, and there's a lot more stuff, but we're getting short on time. Postcards. Postcards can generate feedback. You have a postcard with your logo, show information, whatever, and on the back say, please listen to my show, and mail this back in with your comments. Now, postcards can be kind of cool, and they can also be kind of weird. You can just put your email address on the CD and say, hey, you know, whatever. Your email address and say, please let me know what you think. But the postcards are kind of cool because they make sort of a little, I guess, souvenir deal, maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm just stupid. But hand out the postcards. I send in your comments, you know. Or say, send me a postcard from where you live. I'm making a collection. Listen, here's the CD. Take a listen. Mail me a postcard from where you live. And let me know what you think. But I think the idea of handing out the postcard may be better. But then they don't keep the postcard, which has your information. Ah, forget it. Anyway, I will be going to Balticon, and I'll be putting into practice maybe one of those tactics. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for spending the time here. I hope that some of these things you can take to heart. A lot of these things I picked up from T. Morris, The Survival Guide to Writing Fantasy. Please go check that out at tmorris.com/blog. Really good podcast. Most recent episode is an interview with J.C. Hutchins. Thank you for listening, guys, and I'll see you next time, which is next week, the 23rd of March. We'll see you.
You've been listening to The Adventures of Indiana Jim, a production of Visionary Creative Works. Visit podcast.indianajim.net and leave comments on the blog. Send in your emails and audio feedback to podcast@indianajim.net. I'm Dr. John Small. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Now, Jazzler gets you to the new frontiers of radio automation.
The new frontiers of radio automation.
Bring your station into the new age of music and let Jazzler do the rest. Jazzler, the leading radio automation software.